want to welcome everybody to Care Group. If you're joining us right now, you may hear some background noise, and we have a live audience. You want to just say hello to everybody right now? So, yeah, wave, say hello. This is a different Care Group experience. We're right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and Pastor Darren is reachable. I can reach him.
And I can reach you back, right back.
That's pretty incredible.
We're in person, we're live.
Lindsay's reachable.
Yes.
But she's usually reachable. Deaconess Jess.
Y'all can reach Jessica.
You're reachable.
Wow. Real people, real people.
Can you guys help me appreciate Pastor Darren, Deaconess Jess, Lindsay, and...
Let's talk about where everyone's coming from.
Yeah. So who's here from Cali? Wow, okay. Bobby was loud on that one. I met some people from Tennessee, from Nashville. Where are you at? I met you guys before.
Nice.
It's pretty incredible. We got Connecticut. Jeez, look at the... Isn't this incredible, guys, to see how the Lord has reached individuals and people that represent all these different states? And if you're watching right now, why don't you let us know in the chat where you're tuning in from, where you're watching from. You're significant. And we're just so appreciative that the gospel of grace is continuing to go further.
Yeah, and we would love for you to be able to come out in person one day.
Yes.
And when we have our new building, it's coming right up. We were just on location in Forest Lane.
Things are coming along.
How's it looking?
It's looking good.
It's looking pretty cool.
Really good.
We're going to have 1,000 seats in Forest Lane in the main sanctuary. We'll have space for 300 kids for our kids' church. And, you know, there'll be opportunity as well to have like concurrently run youth services for about 200 over youths.
Yep.
So think about it, in any given service that we can do, right, we'll be able to host close to like 1,500 people every service.
It's incredible.
So we're dreaming for growth. We're dreaming for the year off. And think about it, in the year of living in the upper room, the Lord showed us this space. 2024. Right?
Yeah.
We chance upon this space. And in the year of much more, we are going to step into it. Right? So it's exciting. So I'm excited for, what do you think is the year of 2027, Lindsay?
I don't know. So what do you guys think? It's going to be good, whatever it is. It's going to be real good.
Hard to guess, Pastor. It's not that easy.
I try every year. I make it up, but I've never been correct. But I've been close, but, you know, it's never been like, you know. I mean, how do you come up with, like, Hazon vision? I mean, no one's going to... Pastor Prince keeps it hard.
Yeah.
And in the year of time and space, and then all that pandemic happened, and then we went time and space. But Pastor spoke it forward before we went through time and space. And then something happened called NCC Online. Yeah. Right?
They seem happy
then
about
as
that.
As far as I've heard, Pastor Prince is not shutting down. Yeah. So I think he can hear you from Singapore, right?
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty incredible. It's just the nature of the ministry, the prophetic nature of the ministry too, and how Pastor leans into.
And I think it's prophetic that we're all here too. If you go back to the map, I mean, there are different representatives from all across the nation. And it's even prophetic why GRC is actually based in Dallas. I'm sure you love for it to be in your city, wherever you're from the East Coast and West Coast. But I think when we began even planting this church, the Lord gave us vision that it will be in a central place where people can come from the East Coast and the West Coast and from Canada and down south to come to Dallas. It's a hub. It's an easy flight. No one flew more than, I think, 3-4 hours to be here.
Yeah.
Except me and Jessica and the rest of the Singapore team. I mean, if you look at the map, like what we're believing for is that all of you are actually Grace Revival ambassadors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. We talked about it last year, but we're really desirous for you to not just be impacted by the gospel of grace, but be a carrier, a conduit, a channel of the gospel of grace. Amen? In your city. So we pray that as we gather here, that the Lord will give you prophetic wisdom. The Lord will give you favor, right? The Lord will bless you tremendously, and the Lord will use you. Amen?
Amen, amen. Lindsay, while we're at this here, you know, don't forget to let everyone know like the different things that they need to know
before
about the
lobby.
Before
we jump into everything. Who here is in our church lobby? I mean, okay, all of you were in our...
Okay. Well, not the one we're
in
right now.
We were all in the actual church lobby this morning. But the digital church
lobby.
Yes.
The online one, yes.
So just walking around out there this morning and looking around, there was people, you know, greeting each other, praying for each other, sharing what the Lord is doing in their lives. And that's what we endeavor to have for our online church lobby as well. So if you're not a part of the lobby yet, jump on. You could click the link that's on the screen for those watching online. And get to be a part of the church lobby. It's really amazing. And then if you need prayer, if you're someone who needs prayer or someone that you know needs prayer, we also have our digital prayer experience. So the pastors and the leaders of GRC Online, they record timely prayers for different situations that you may be going through, whether it's marriage, family relationships, finance, things like that. There's specific prayers that you can send to somebody that is in need. So that's an awesome resource that we have. Last, we have care group notes. So we'll have notes for today's session. We also have all the past notes, study notes that go along with the different care groups. You could also find on demand for YouTube all the different care groups that we've had. And we also have, if you're like an on-the-go podcast type of listener, we have all the streaming podcasts so you could listen at the gym, on your drives, things like that. And that's
absolutely
all for me.
Absolutely amazing. And I'm so thankful that we get to have these resources completely free for everybody to just take advantage of them and personalize what the Lord's doing in their life. And like Pastor Darren said, be carriers of this and not cover Alaska with ice, but the gospel of grace, right? So, hey.
Good one.
Isn't it? So let's do this. Are you guys ready for the clip? We always do this, right? We have a clip that we put up and we have a conversation around it. And I'm excited for this clip. We're going to be talking about hope and who's believing that the Lord's going to deepen not a worldly hope, but the Bible hope that Scripture speaks of in all of our lives.
And I think it's important. The clip is taken from the first sermon of 2026. I know Pastor, you know, preaches on, and we know that the theme of the year is the year of
Much more.
But pay attention. I always like to pay attention to this first sermon of the year, right? Because I think that when Pastor's stepping in and being our spiritual leader and our pastor, like he has sought the Lord for a word for those who consider this like a ministry that they lean into. So I think that, you know, while we're talking about hope, it's important that, you know, you go back, right? The full sermon is available for free on YouTube. Right, and you go back and you listen to this sermon again. And it's something that I go back to, first sermon of the year, message of the year, theme of the year, like throughout the year, to keep it fresh in my spirit and get connected with what the Lord has put in my pastor. Like I do from time to time, revisit the first couple of sermons of the year. So we're going to do that today. Is that cool?
Let's check out this clip. We're going to come back and the Lord's going to speak to all of us.
By the way, I need to tell you this. I started by telling you that People sometimes resent people who tell you that good things are coming from God. Right? Or a positive outlook, like Joshua and Caleb. You know what the people did? They pick up rocks to stone, not the 10 who are in unbelief, but the 2 who believe. Isn't it amazing? And their descendants are still around. If you think about it, those who don't believe God, back in those days, they stoned, right? They are the ones to be stoned. But instead, they nearly stoned Joshua and Caleb, and God's glory appeared. And God says, Moses, come here. As they have spoken in my ears, that they will die in the wilderness, so they will. As for Joshua and Caleb, they have a different spirit. This boy's got my heart. They know me. People, it seems God loves people who have hope, a positive expectation of your future. Not even entering the land with all Israel yet, they have a positive expectation of good happening, that they will enjoy the possessions of the land. And God loves it. God is pleased with faith. The flesh of man hates people who are positive. Don't go to that church, it's too positive. They raise your hopes. They raise your hopes. Be careful, no? They raise your hopes. You know, you don't raise your hopes, okay? You raise your hope, you'll be very disappointed. It's very interesting about hope. disappoint people. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint. Hope. Hope does not disappoint. So when we raise our hopes, we are confident. No, always have a viewpoint of hope. That's your helmet. Protects you from all the missiles and the arrows, right? If you're a motorbike driver, you know the helmet protect you from death. Right? You can break your arm, you break your leg, but you break your head. That's it. Amen. Protect your mind. The moment you wake up in the morning, just know that the flesh wants to have a natural propensity towards negative, depression, depressive thoughts. Bring it back. Can I have a good amen?
Amen. You guys encouraged just by the clip, right? And I feel like when I was driving over here today, I was just thinking about this word disappointment. It just kept coming up as I was just praying for all of you and praying for us and thinking about, you know, all of you that have, you know, come here from, you know, different places all across the country and everyone that's watching right now. I think the reality is there is a disappointment that all of us have experienced. And the reason we've experienced it is because of life experiences. We've all had different life experiences. And what I really love about what Pastor Prince shared was we can't get the definition of hope based on what the world says hope is. And oftentimes as believers, not as non-believers, as believers, you know, we can sometimes walk in such a way where we're really good at being an unbelieving believer, right? And why is that though? Because it's important what we're listening to and how we're listening. What are you hearing and how are you hearing what you're hearing? And I'm just finding too, like Pastor Prince has this way, and even in this clip, of just recalibrating and retuning my definition of certain things. Like hope can be used a lot today, but it can be used in such a way where Pastor Prince called out, don't raise your hopes. Don't expect too much because you will be disappointed. And you know what? It is true if you're talking about worldly hope. But he just called out in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the hope that Scripture speaks of will not disappoint. And so I was thinking about that, but why doesn't it disappoint? So then I was just thinking about today, and I was thinking about Proverbs 13:12. I don't have it prepared, but it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the word for hope there is a word that doesn't necessarily find its ground and roots in a person, but only in outcomes. And I think that a lot of times we carry disappointment because our hope is misplaced and it's only rooted in outcomes, not in the person who is hope. His name is Jesus. And so then you look at Isaiah 40, and I'm looking at this verse we know very well, Isaiah 40, and maybe I'll just read it real quick. And it says, starting in verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. So it's speaking about his character. It's letting us know who he is, and that's very important. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, it's a very popular verse. We love it. But I remember one time I was speaking to you, Pastor Darren, about the word hope here in comparison to Proverbs 13:12. It's a different word used for hope. The word used for hope in Isaiah 40 is the word kava, and it means literally how someone makes a rope and intertwines weak strands together to form a strong rope. And that reminded me of what Pastor Prince talks about, which is the anchor. I've never heard of a wireless anchor or a cordless anchor or a ropeless anchor. Try throwing a ropeless anchor out of the boat and see how good that does for you, right? It's not going to help, right? And so my whole thought with all of this was that word speaks of an intertwining of ourselves, recognizing how weak we are with the one who is strong. It's a relationship with a person, and we do expect good things. So it's not to say, and I was just thinking about this, sometimes I'm faced with, well, is it just about focusing on Jesus and not expecting a good outcome? No, but neither is it just expecting a good outcome at the cost of not enjoying the center of our hope, who is Jesus. And so I was just thinking about this today as I'm coming here with our own situations that we go through, is we expect for the manifestation, a good outcome when it comes to the health of our kids, every other thing that we can confront and just navigate in life. We're not letting go of good outcomes because you have teachings today that say, hey, listen, it's just about Jesus in the sense of like just knowing him, being with him. Don't expect him to do anything though. But we don't believe that. We believe that if God gave up his one and only son, which is the best, he didn't withhold the best. It says, we got to continue reading scripture. How will he not also together with him freely give us all things? So it's both. So I'm just thinking about this. And the last thing I'll say, because I don't want to get, you know, too crazy here, Pastor, you know, I just get excited. I can't help it, guys. Can you feel like, you know, we're get excited. I can't help it. I'm going to stop. Okay. The last thing is this, all right? That I was thinking about how, like, there's the story of the 10 lepers in scripture. And 10 of them came to Jesus. They got healed. All 10. Only one came back to enjoy a relationship with Jesus. So I was thinking of, like, yes, there's the hope of healing. That's included. But even greater than just the hope of healing is the hope of seeing, sitting at his feet, being with hope himself. Because we don't really want to just hop from one healing to the next. I really felt like this phrase is, the Lord really wants, as you guys came here today, and all of us, this speaks, I'm speaking to myself, Lindsay, like, us to be sure and steadfast. But that leper came back, and he didn't just come back to say thank you. It says he glorified God and fell at Jesus' feet. And what did Jesus say the best part is? To Mary, to sit at his feet. No one can take that away. So I've just been thinking about these things, you know, today, and I'm wanting to take that, you know, to heart and bring that into our situation and our life's, you know, journey.
Yeah. So I kind of prepared something different. And then this morning I woke up super early with somebody here on my heart. And I felt like not even realizing in the clip that Pastor Prince references it, but it's Romans 5:2. It says, because of this faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Just kind of sounds like the place of grace. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So even touching off of what you were saying, that we have disappointments. We know personally some of you that have disappointments, and we've all been disappointed in this life. And for me, a good, you know, measure of where my hope is, if it's the kind of hope that is, you know, looking for outcomes, or if I'm having that confident, joyful expectation of good, is kind of how I'm looking at the Lord daily. Like, am I seeing God in his grace every day? Am I having faith for today, knowing how good he's been to me and how great he's going to be to me in the future? Because sometimes, like you were sharing, you can kind of get hope fatigue. That's kind of what popped in my head. Like, I'm tired of hoping for this and hoping for that and hoping for this. And it's that kind of hope, that worldly hope. Like, I really hope something good will happen. But when we have this confident, joyful expectation of good, because we've seen how faithful he's been to us, it gives us that strength through the everyday and that fresh Bible hope that is based on his character, which is faithfulness. And even thinking of the verse that this hope we have as an anchor for our soul. An anchor, like you were saying, it doesn't do any good if it doesn't have a rope on it. You just throw it in. But what is the purpose of an anchor? It's to steady the boat in a storm. It doesn't say that you throw the anchor out to stop the storm. An anchor has no power to stop the storm. It's to give us that sure, steady ground. And that's what, when our hope is placed in Jesus, That's what our standing is going to be. We're going to be sure. We're going to be sure-footed. We're going to, you know, believe him for his goodness. It doesn't mean that it's based on not having any challenges, anything going on in our lives. It's because he's good, and that's what we're basing our hope on.
It's really good. And I thought, okay, yeah, it was pretty good, yeah. I thought that, I asked Lindsay, because that phrase I thought was pretty unique, hope fatigue. I said, did you get that from ChatGPT? And she said no.
It was from the Holy Spirit. That wasn't from ChatGPT. But that actually, I'm going to pull out my notes that I wrote down from what I was going to share originally. And just one thing I want to leave with us is that Bible hope, it lasts continually because he lasts. So we can hope continually because he is faithful eternally. Our response is hope in hard situations because faithfulness is his nature. And even if our hope feels fragile, his faithfulness never changes. So just hold on to that because I know that there's so many people going through things and it's not, I mean, life is hard, but he loves us so much. So it doesn't mean, you know, that because we're hoping that everything's instantly gonna turn out the right way, but it will turn out and it's gonna turn out for your good. And kind of like you were sharing that as we seek him and his kingdom, all of these things will be added. So he is the prize, but he wants good things for his children.
Amen, amen. And I really believe that as we are gathered in this room, talking about Jesus, reading scripture together, that there is an impartation of hope. You know, I woke up this morning thinking about how do we grow in hope, right? And I think it's being around people that are full of hope. Because there are people here in this room that are in a good place, that the Lord has brought them through a time of challenge and adversity. They've received a healing breakthrough already, right? But there are also people in this room and people watching online, part of our GRC family, that are still going through something. And sometimes for a protected period and not seeing breakthrough for a long time. So I think, you know, I completely understand what Lindsay is sharing, that like we can experience the, like I've believed and I've hoped, but I've not seen the breakthrough. And that creates that hope fatigue. I think there are areas in all our lives in varying degrees that we experience that. So, but yet, Lindsay and Josh, like, we don't know how we can manufacture the miracle. We can't create the moment. We can't make something happen, right? Just like I think about the man at the Pool of Bethesda, he was there for 38 years. I'm not saying we have to wait 38 years, but that was his story, right? We're not believing to wait 38 years. But if I read the scripture, that was his experience and story, but Jesus came. In the fullness of time, at the right time, in the right moment, the Lord comes. I don't know when, but in the meantime, I'm going to not be hateful and angry and bitter towards the church, towards the ministry, towards pastors, towards God himself, because I've not yet seen the breakthrough. But I'm going to stay planted in hope. I'm going to stay, when I'm fatigued, and when Lindsay's fatigued, and when Pastor Josh is fatigued, and when Jessica's fatigued, when we're fatigued together, and we can have a family to go like, hey, like, how are you feeling? And we can say, not so great today. Not so great this week. It's tough. It's challenging. Right? I think it means a lot to a family that we can come together and go like, we can be vulnerable and we can be real with our challenges and our infirmities and the things that we're still going through. I think that's where hope matters the most. Because I believe that while I'm fatigued and in a place of fatigue and a place of unbelief, that, hey, someone in the community, someone in GRC Online, someone in GRC Dallas, they are not fatigued. And they can bring me to the Lord. And they can bring me to Jesus and bring me back, right, Pastor Josh, back to his feet. And go like, let's sit at his feet together for a moment. Let's worship the Lord together for a moment. Let's just read scripture. Let's not think about the storm for a moment. Let's just read scripture together. Let's just like, you know, you're tired, you're fatigued, you're worn out, you're disappointed. But hey, I'm here, right? and I'm strong, and I'm full of faith, and I'm going to impart my faith to you. Right? So in times of hope fatigue, like be in a hopeful community. Amen?
And, you know, it's really such a privilege to be able to be here. I know that, you know, the online digital church is such a blessing. It is from the Lord for us, you know, because between time and space, that's the best that we could, you know, have. But, you know, being present, like here, when we get to meet together in person once a year or, you know, hopefully more often, it is such a privilege. And, you know, Caleb and I... yeah, Caleb is here, and thanks to Pastor and yes.
Look at this. We have Joshua and we have Caleb.
We got another Caleb over here.
Another Caleb, right? Look at that, right? With Pastor says they have a different spirit.
Yes, amen. Yes,
right. Truly no one here is named after the 10 spies that didn't believe. Right, we saw their names and then we canceled them out.
Yes. Well, we had the opportunity of, you know, just spending time with some friends who are going through a challenge here, you know, in GRC. And, you know, what was amazing was when we had lunch, this friend of ours, she really didn't have any appetite. So she wasn't even sure she wanted to come out to lunch. But when we met and we started just, you know, speaking and sharing the word and what the Lord has been saying through Pastor Prince to us, you know, she ordered like this amazing feast. And she said, like, you know, Jessica, I've not had this appetite for a long time and I feel like there is strength to eat. And I said, eat, because you need to eat to get strength, you know, for the physical body. And it was... It just reminded me of what we're saying here, right? Like there is this impartation of the spirit that we carry that, you know, is in us, the exceeding greatness of the power by the Holy Spirit that is in us. And that, you know, we impart that to one another. You know, another group of ladies that, you know, we've been hanging out with, we call them the Grace Girls. Yeah, you know, they are just so amazing. You know, they have so much hope that they bring that even if you're going through a difficult time, you feel dejected, when you meet with them, you know, all of that lifts and goes away. It's just like Jesus, right? When you touch him, you will not remain in that state of, you know, whether it's sickness or whether it's lack or whether it's depression. You just are lifted up. And I'm just so thankful to be here because, you know, there is so much hope every time I turn around. You know, I was talking to another sister who's part of, you know, GRC, and she was telling me, you know, like this devotional that we had about, you know, oh, Jesus must increase and then we must decrease. And, you know, as we were talking about that scripture, I just saw the Lord saying that, you know, do you realize that when you lift me up, you naturally will be decreasing? And, you know, it's effortless, right? It's effortless for us to talk about Jesus and what all the wonderful things he's done for us in our lives. And, you know, you don't have to focus on trying to do things to decrease, right? And, you know, I was thinking about the hope fatigue too, you know, Lindsay, and I get that. In fact, the disappointment, right? The fear of being disappointed. I remember when my daughters were going through a period when they were told by the doctors that they would not be able to conceive. You know, they just stopped praying. And they just told me, Mom, I'd rather not be disappointed than to hope that I will have a baby. And I said, that's not what... You know, my pastor tells us that Elpis hope, right? Bible hope is the positive, confident expectation that good will come. And, you know, that was the hope I clung on to every time I prayed for them, every time I spoke with them and believed with them. And they would tell me the same thing. But I said, you know, my hope, the hope that is Christ in me, the hope of glory, it's really, our hope is really the Lord Jesus, right? It's no one else. It's him and him alone. Just like Grace is a person, I believe that hope is a person too. And, you know, when we see him lifted up and cling on to the fact that he went to the cross for us, it makes hoping so easy, right? You don't have to try to hope. You just know that you have the hope that will not disappoint. And, you know, my girls, today I have four grandchildren from my two daughters. And yes, that hope, right, state, that hope state. And, you know, when we have hope fatigue, I thought that, you know, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, right? He didn't say, oh, when, you know, if you have hope fatigue, go do this 10 steps. He said, come. All we need to do is just come to Jesus. He said, come to me and I will rest you and I will teach you and I show you that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think that's what the Lord desires for us to do. Just to come to hope, right? Every time we feel that we're lacking, that we're needing. You know, many of us here, I'm not sure about, you know, like some of you, but me personally, every day I have this challenge. I'm not good enough. Lord, I need to do more. And, you know, I need to improve in this area. And the Lord continuously reminds me that, no, Jessica, just come unto me and I will show you how. And, you know, it is such a beautiful gospel, right, that we have. And, you know, I'm just so thankful we get to come here together and celebrate the gospel of grace in person with all of you. Thank you so much for coming.
And even as Deaconess Jessica is sharing, I just want you to continue to be in this posture of receiving the impartation of hope, right? Whatever situation you're in right now, like, the Lord knows it, right? He cares about that situation more than we realize. And you'd be like, but Lord, I've not seen the breakthrough yet. Be like, but He cares about that situation, right? So, like, putting on the helmet means, like, we pause from the mind games. So there's certain questions that we just don't ask. Certain questions I've learned not to ask, like, why did this happen? Or why has it not happened yet? That's putting on the helmet of hope. Right, to go like, there's certain questions like, I'm just not going to go down that pathway because it doesn't lead to life. Right, the helmet of salvation protects you. It protects your resurrection life. It keeps your mind elevated. Amen? So again, I woke up this morning thinking of all y'all, you know, coming to Texas. And so I kept thinking about this question on like, yes, I know I want to have hope. I know we want to have hope. I know we want to bring about an impartation of hope. But the question is, how? Just pull up Romans chapter 15, verse 4. So I woke up this morning asking this question. And when you have a question, you do not turn to ChatGPT. You know, it's something that I need to withhold my hand. You know, your hand wants to. You got to stay your hand. Don't steady the ark, right? Withhold your hand. Ask first the Holy Spirit. Right? And the Spirit gave me this scripture. It says, I was asking this question, right? Asking the Holy Spirit this question. So where does hope come from? And how do we impart to our care group this morning in Dallas? How do we grow in hope? And this scripture says, such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us. The stories in the Bible are written long ago to teach us. And the scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So again, I don't ask why. I don't ask why not yet. How come it hasn't happened yet? I go to scripture and the scripture gives us hope and encouragement. Right? And great, this is a principle, but I'm going to show you how I'm applying this scripture. So how do we look at this scripture and how does the scripture give us hope? So at the start of this year, or sometime in December 25, as the year was closing out, I began meditating, again, just reading scripture. Remember, it's written a long time ago. This is a long time ago from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 45. And it's part of the story of Joseph, right, in the Bible in Genesis. Was it written a long time ago? Right? Let's watch how this imparts hope to us. So this is Joseph talking to his brothers. The brothers who abandoned him, the brothers who were envious of him, the brothers who threw him into a pit. He says to them, please come closer. And he said to them, so they came closer and he said to them, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. In an alternate universe, you can only imagine if Joseph was not a man of God, what he would have done to his brothers. But this is scripture. But he tells them, verse 5, don't be upset. Think about the relief the brothers felt. Don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. Who sent Joseph to Egypt? It was God who sent me here. And he sends Joseph ahead of you to preserve your life. And I just sat on this scripture in verse 5. How would they know? And I begin to ask this question, Josh. How long did God send Joseph ahead of his brothers? You talk about the God of time and space, right, Jessica? How long did the Lord send Joseph ahead? And it's interesting that we can actually do the math because it's actually pinpoint in scripture. This is just all from my meditation. I wasn't preparing it to preach. I wasn't seeking the word of God, right, for this moment. No, it's just, I was just storing up the word of God in my heart, in my spirit. And for such a time as this, today, as we're gathered, as we're talking about hope, this morning, as I'm preparing, the Lord draws it out. Do you know how long, Josh? You will like this.
No.
So when Joseph first received the dream, right, all his brothers bowing before him and all that, how old was Joseph? The Bible tells us. 17. All right? So when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, how old was Joseph? 30. The Bible tells us. What is 30 minus 17? 13. Right? Then after that, after he gave and interpreted Pharaoh's dream, there will be 7 years of plenty, right? Followed by 7 years of famine. So by the time he met his brothers, it was after the 7 years of plenty. So what's 13 plus 7? 20. Then after he revealed himself to his brothers, he says, go get my family to me, get my father to me, and I'll put you in this place because there remains 5 more years to the famine. How many years is he when he met his brothers? 2 more years. So it's 22 years. Look, it says here, verse 6, the famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years. The Bible puts that timestamp for us. So imagine this, because we all know 22 means something to us, right, Josh? I'm sitting here with scripture, just pondering that verse. Then I'll go back to Romans chapter 15, where it says this, right? The scriptures were written long ago to give us hope and encouragement. There's no way the brothers knew that by being jealous of their brother, throwing their brother into a pit, right? Eventually causing Joseph to be purchased by Potiphar, right? And that how Joseph will then prosper in Potiphar's house until Potiphar's wife lies about him and he's thrown into prison, that he will interpret a dream for a prisoner. It will cause him to stand before Pharaoh. How would the Lord send me ahead to preserve? So we don't know what situation you've been dealing with. And you can't see the hand of God in your present situation. But the Lord sent Joseph ahead to save his entire household, all his brothers and all his family by 22 years. I don't know what you're dealing with, but when I read this scripture, all I know is the Lord has got this. He's got your life. He's got your family. He's watching over you. We don't know when the breakthrough will come. We don't know how the breakthrough will come. We don't ask all those questions. We just receive the impartation of the hope and of the encouragement. Can I have a good amen? Amen. It's the word of God. It just is.
I mean, I feel so encouraged right now just hearing some of the things that you brought out, but how it's also practically applied.
And it means a lot to both you and I because when do we meet, Josh?
We met in 2017.
2017, because of that family. Could the family just please stand?
Yeah, back
here. Could you introduce
them,
Josh?
Jesse, Tyler, and his mom and dad, Jim and Mary Beth. From Long Island, New York, where I'm from.
So we used to do this back in the day when Pastor Prince had, like, you know, events in New York in 2017. And I told the team, like, let's just do a Grace, like, pop-up. And we just rented a random ballroom in some hotel in Manhattan, right? And we just put the invite out. And then...
Yeah, they were there. They came. They come from, you know, my parents' church from a while back. They walk into the event, and out of everybody that was there...
Everybody that was there.
Pastor Darren goes up to them and asks them to sit somewhere close by him, right?
Yeah, that's how we met. And then they begin to tell me that they attend this church, right? Jesse, the story goes, right? That they attend this church where there's this, like, you know, good-looking pastor... I don't know they said that. They just said, by our pastor. Right?
Well, thanks for adding that.
Yeah. I found that out to be true later, right? That you know, that he would do this young adult meetings and then he would give out Destined to Reign at a table behind the church, whomever wants to take it.
Yep.
Right? I'm like, who is this guy? I'd love to meet him. Right? Because we put out invites and he wouldn't even come.
Well.
Right? But they came.
I didn't have to go. Yeah.
Right. I think you went to the zoo or something.
No, we did have a legitimate. There was something that we had scheduled.
Yeah,
but
for real.
We could say the zoo.
Yeah, whatever.
It makes a better story.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right. But talk about time and space and chance. Like they came and we got connected and all of that. And then it worked out where, like, Josh got off work, right? And you came into Manhattan. It was my last day in New York. We're going to move off to another city, right?
Yeah.
And we met that, and then you parked in a...
Yeah, so it was this crazy thing. So I meet Pastor Darren. I say, hey, Pastor Darren, I'm taking a chance. I don't know you. Can I just let you know, there's this number, you know, 22 and 222 that's been just like, kind of like confirming things for me as I'm spending time with the Lord. And I just randomly was trying to find this parking space today. And I was praying as I was making my way to the train station to meet you and just asking the Lord to speak and confirm and just put me in the right place at the right time. And I randomly find a spot. I got an F-150 and I'm like, wow, the top is about to hit the parking garage. I'm trying to like get in and I randomly park. And this number has already been very significant to me by this time. So I park and I had to take the number, note of the number before I got the ticket. And I realized that the number was 222. So I tell Pastor Darren this, and I'm like, this guy is going to think I'm crazy telling him this thing. He doesn't know me at all. So then he goes, well, that's pretty interesting because 22 is a very significant number to our ministry, and he proceeds to try to open up Live the Let Go Life. And I didn't realize that the publishing company's name was 22 Media. And so, but what we really believe about 22, right, and why it's significant, and Pastor has spoken about this, is there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And Jesus says, right, I'm the Alpha and the Omega in Greek, but in Hebrew, which he would have spoke, I am the Aleph and the Taf. So what is 22? The revelation of Jesus. And that's what Joseph was storing up in his heart, looking ahead, because scripture says that he gave instruction for his bones to be taken out of Egypt to be brought to the promised land. So he was already looking ahead with a hope in his heart for what God was going to do for his people.
Amen. That's how we met. And that's how this family from Long Island is now in Dallas for the last...
It's going to be 8 years.
7 to 8 years?
8 years in March, yeah.
Not 6, 7 years?
No.
No, is he?
Yeah, our daughter's not here, what she'd be doing, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, right. Right, and I believe that God has gone ahead of this family, right? To be here, to be planted here, to be in this house, and... Again, then we're talking about this scripture today. We're only bringing it up and just following the flow of the Spirit. That it so happens, I just discovered true scripture. It's been there all the time. But that the Lord has sent Joseph ahead by 22 years. Yeah. And as you're speaking, that the Lord is Alpha and Omega, yeah. That He's not the author of confusion, yeah. But the author of the beginning, yeah. And the end. Yeah. So it means that the end of your story, whatever you're going through right now, it's not over. Mm. It ain't finished, right? What do they say? It ain't finished till the No, the trumpet. That's not in the Bible.
Everybody's going, I don't want to say this, but I think this is...
Wrong scripture. Right. It just ain't over. Whatever crisis, whatever situation, it ain't over. Because Jesus is with you. He has gone ahead of you. He's gone to the cross. The price is paid. The finished work is complete. Healing is on its way. Provision is on its way. Supply is on its way. Amen?
Amen. I know we got to wrap this up, but pastors taught us that our heavenly Joseph, Jesus, has gone ahead. And Hebrews 6 says that our forerunner, Jesus, has gone through the threshold behind the veil, and our hope is anchored to the mercy seat, which is the work he accomplished at the cross. And so I'm believing maybe even in this time of ministry, right? It would be a time for us to receive impartation of hope. So I don't just want to talk about hope. We're talking about hope for the purpose of all of us taking it personal and receiving an impartation. An impartation is, it doesn't just come from someone talking about it. It comes from vessels, and I believe Pastor Darren, Deaconess Jess, our desire is to continue to be vessels that have lived this out with the Lord. And I know we have that in our senior pastor, Pastor Prince. He says, I'm not going to just preach. I want to preach also from what I've personalized and experienced in my own relationship with Jesus. So maybe during this time right now, we can just spend some time, you know, and just...
Can we just rest in this place? Let's just pray.
Let's do that.
Just pray in the Spirit together while we're in the room. We can just begin to just pray in the Spirit. And like whatever area of hope you're believing God for, whatever area and you feel challenged by right now, let's just like as a family, just join our hope and our faith and our confidence together to just begin to pray. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Release, Lord, release your impartation of hope this morning. For every person that's in the room, for every person that's tuning in online, Lord, I thank you that your anointing and your power, it knows no bound. It's not confined by time and space, but that you can send your word of healing, your word of breakthrough, your word of release right now into every situation. Lord, we thank you that in this environment where if there's anyone that's just been dealing with hope fatigued, Lord, I thank you for resurrection life. We thank you that even right now, you are breathing, your spirit is moving, there is a resuscitation, there's a re-impartation of hope that has been stolen, hope that has been taken away, hope that has been removed. Lord, I thank you for that impartation, that release in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lindsay, can I just invite you to just pray in the Spirit and just begin to speak that restoration of hope. The Lord gave you this word, and I believe the Lord will use you to just bring forth new faith, new hope to every person that's in this room and watching online.
Father, we just thank you so much for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you are hope and that we could be sure of you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that we would all be a Joshua and a Caleb, Lord, that we would see you, that we would see you in your provision, Lord, that we may be surrounded by giants, but they are bread for us, Lord, because we know who you are. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be moved by our situations, Lord, that you're not moved when we're moved, that you are our anchor. So we thank you, Lord, that we could be sure in our souls, in our thoughts, in our emotions, Lord, because we know that you carry our future. So we thank you, Lord, for all of those who are holding on to something in their hearts, Lord, that have dreams and hopes. We thank you, Lord, that they can release those dreams and hopes to you, Lord. We thank you that we can place them in your hands, that we let you carry them even now, Lord, because you carry us, that you want for us even more than what we want for ourselves, Lord. So I just thank you for everyone that is believing for healing, that as Jesus is, so are you right now in this world, that it may not look like it, it may not feel like it, but you are healed, that the work was finished and it was perfect. So we thank you, Lord, for great healing, just breaking out even right now, Lord. We thank you that your healing touch is in this room. When you are in the room, healing is easy and it is light. So we thank you, Lord, that everyone that came here believing for healing for them, for someone in their lives, Lord, that that healing is theirs, that they would just take it now, Lord, that they feel so carried by you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this special time, your presence here. Lord, we thank you that you, who did not spare your own son, but gave him up for us all freely. How would you not freely, with Jesus, give us all things that we need, that we desire? Health, wholeness, shalom, peace, joy, and Lord, to experience in a manifest way your everlasting love. Oh Lord Jesus, we are reminded that you went to the cross and hung on a tree, as in Galatians 3:13. Oh Lord, you became the curse in our place for us, so that we might always be in a place of blessing. So we thank you, Lord, that every curse, Lord, that is in Deuteronomy 28 has already been paid for. And Lord, that last curse, Lord, where no one would buy us, has completely been paid for by your finished work on the cross. Because you demonstrated how much you love us, that you were willing to hang on a tree in our place, taking our curses. Today, Lord, it's not anymore that no one would buy us, but you bought us with your own blood and your own flesh. You bought us, Lord. You redeemed us. Surely, if you have redeemed us, you will also have healed us, delivered us, provided for us. Lord, we thank you for the much more hope that we have, Lord, that we want to possess the much more land that is hope, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we just need to receive it, not to struggle, but to receive it, because you have already finished a perfect and complete work. So we thank you. We can only thank you, Lord, and praise and worship you and enjoy your love, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. I feel the Lord's heart for everybody in this room right now, and also just the two young guys here. Just want to speak over you guys. God's got a plan and a purpose for you guys, and a destiny for you guys. He wants to use you guys, and that's a hope you guys could hold on to in your heart. So I just want to speak over them right now. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the hope that is in their heart right now, that is going to come alive starting today in Jesus' name. Lord, I just feel your heart for them and your love for them. I ask you to overwhelm them right now with the blanket, warm blanket of your love and embrace right now in Jesus' name, just like I felt years ago in my room, Lord. in the middle of everything I was going through. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing the same for them right now in Jesus' name. And I ask that you would become more and more real to them in the name of Jesus, and that they would start writing down the things that they know they will experience because of your goodness up ahead in their future. Lord, use them as evangelists of your grace. Lord, let them see that they're weak in and of themselves, but Lord, let them not stop there. Let them take who they are in their weakness and bind themselves to you and your strength and your faithfulness in the name of Jesus. I thank you. Everything that's been spoken over them that has been in alignment with your spirit would come to pass in Jesus' name. Every word spoken will come to pass and will fulfill what it was sent out to fulfill in Jesus' name. And Lord, also over the young man over here that's taller with the glasses on the end here, we just speak over him right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for a plan and a purpose for him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you he'll be a vessel of healing in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just speak over him right now in the name of Jesus. And also over every person in their 20s and younger here in this room, I thank you, Lord, this next generation is rising up with a hope for their future. And they're going to be a blessing to the generation that has gone before them also with honor, and even show the world around them what honor looks like as they look to Jesus, as they see what Jesus has done. They're going to respond with an honor for the generation that has gone before. And Lord, I speak over everyone that is part of the older generation, over 30, over 20. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that even if they've experienced some hope fatigue, I ask right now, that hope fatigue would be replaced with a hope endurance, strengthening intensity as they see that their heart is a storehouse for scripture. Just like Pastor Darren was sharing, Lord, may that become real to them today. Maybe they felt like, but I've done that before, but Lord, I've looked at scripture, I've gone, I've meditated, I haven't seen the breakthrough. Lord, today's a new day. Behold, I do a new thing. So Lord, I speak that over every person that represents that generation right now, that there is a heavenly hope that is carrying them into every single thing that they have been waiting to experience, not by might, not by power, not by their strength, but by your spirit and your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. You should feel God's love in this place. Amen. And that's yeah, we could praise the Lord and thank him for what he's doing, right? Special. Being together is special. And this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Amen? What a good time, Pastor, Deaconess Jess, Lindsay. So thankful to be with all of you here and everyone that's watching right now. We're so thankful that you tuned in, that you've spent time with us. We want to encourage you to continue to share this too. This is too good to keep to ourselves, right? So we don't keep these things to ourselves. We share them and we give Jesus away as he continues to bring breakthrough and deliverance and healing and show us more of him. Amen. So we'd love to see you next time for Care Group, and continue to just go on YouTube and go to our website, and we'll see you in the lobby and all the things that we have to offer completely free so that you can continue to enjoy your journey with Jesus. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Amen. Love you guys.